Phil, how are you, buddy?
Good afternoon, Mr. Stewart. How are you?
I'm good. I would imagine that your listeners there in the Palmetto State, especially those that follow the Gamecocks, more than a little concerned about the status of Mike Davis, the running back. No practice this week. Is it true that he's questionable for the opener a week from tonight?
Well, you know, Spurrier said that last night after practice, and I just think he was using that as a little message to Davis. Davis tweeted out today that, are you kidding? I'm not going to play. You're not going to start next week. But what are you saying? Mike Davis will try it out with the first team. And, you know, how much practice does Mike Davis need? He's practiced. They know what he can do. He knows the offense. Give him the football in block form. That's basically what you need to do. So I would expect that he'll be out with the first team offense next Thursday night. He's had a little bit of an injury issue in this camp. He's had a hamstring and then bruised up some ribs in a scrimmage last Saturday. But he's a gamer, and when the lights come on, he likes to be there. So I would expect him to be in the lineup.
I know there's not maybe as much experience as he's had in certain years, but he's got some really talented depth in that backfield, doesn't he?
Yeah, they can go four deep, and they will go four deep, and they will work in all four of these guys, Davis, Brandon Wilds, David Williams, Sean Carson, and, you know, they all do something a little different, and it will all revolve around Davis. How much they'll, you know, he kind of tapered off towards the end of last season. Some wonder if the workload got to him by the end of the season. He was dealing with some nagging injuries. So I think they'll do their best to preserve him and keep him as fresh as possible and use these other backs.
Talking with Phil Kornblut from Sports Talk South Carolina. He is joining us on our Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Phil, when we here in the state of Alabama talk about the Crimson Tide right now, it's all about the quarterback position. A little better spot for South Carolina, at least in terms of knowing what you're going to get. Dylan Thompson, 10 games last year, 52 of 89, threw three picks. No, he didn't have the type of year like Connor Shaw, but this is still a guy that they feel pretty comfortable working under center, do they not?
They do. He's got Spurrier's blessings, and that's really all that matters. And, you know, Shaw had such a phenomenal year last year. You're not going to have a season where you throw as many passes as he did and only throw one interception. I mean, that's just almost impossible. So people who expect that are going to be, I think, sadly disappointed. But they feel like Thompson knows the offense extremely well. He's played in pressure situations. He's won on the road. He's won coming off the bench. He's been a starter. So he brings all the elements of a winning quarterback to the position. And really, they've got to keep him healthy because, you know, he was the luxury that they had in recent years when Connor would get dinged up because of his playing style. And he got dinged up a lot because of his running tendencies. And they don't have the luxury of a ready backup. You know, if something happens to Dylan Thompson, they're going to have to go to a newbie, and that could be a scary situation.
Always is when you've got to go to somebody that's not a veteran in that spot. Something else that could be dicey a lot of times is trying to replace a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. And granted, there's not another one of those back there, but at least they feel like they're pretty salty on the defensive side.
Well, they do. I mean, they'll never have another Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, he is truly a once-in-a-lifetime type of athlete, and I think you're seeing that in the NFL right now, the first two exhibition games. He's showing what he can do. So what they are hoping is that they will compensate for that with more of a team defense, and more people will get involved. I think the biggest concern about their defense is the secondary. They've moved Bryson Williams from safety to corner, and they're going to be starting a true freshman at corner in Al Harris Jr. And So they've got some new faces in the secondary. The pass rush will also be a question mark because they've got new defensive ends, though Gerald Dixon has played a lot and is a quality defensive end, and his brother, Gerald Dixon Jr. You got Gerald Dixon and Gerald Dixon Jr. And the sons of Gerald Dixon. There's three Gerald Dixons out there.
Wow.
And so they are hopeful that those two, along with some of the other returnees, will be able to provide the pass rush to compensate for the loss of not just Clowney, but Kelsey Quarles and Chaz Sutton. They lost three good pass rushers in those in that trio.
All right, let me go back to that real quick. Okay, because I know the guy driving down the street listening to this.
Yeah.
What? You said Gerald Dixon is the father, and he's got two sons named Gerald Dixon? Is this like George Foreman?
Two different mothers. It's Gerald Dixon. Let me give you the family tree. There's Gerald Dixon, the dad, who was a linebacker in South Carolina and then played in the NFL for 7 or 8 years. And he's an assistant high school coach. These guys are from Rock Hill. He's an assistant high school coach at a school in Rock Hill. And so he has two boys from two different women or wives, I'm not exactly sure. But one is named Gerald Dixon, and one is named Gerald Dixon Jr. And they went to two different high schools, and they were different high schools than the father. So there was a different Gerald Dixon at three different high schools in Rock Hill. They're not twins. I mean, they're not. They don't have the same mothers. They have the same father. And, you know, the story that I was told about the naming was because the mothers, knowing that the dad was in the NFL, they wanted to make sure that they were going to have the opportunity to get some of that NFL retirement money when it comes around. So they stamped the name on the kid to identify with the father.
Well, that doesn't present any drama whatsoever, does it?
Only in South Carolina and Alabama.
Yeah, I was going to say now there, we could work around the league and have a little of that. I would imagine. Talking to Phil Kornblut, he is a sportscasting veteran. Is that a nice way of putting it, Phil? Veteran in South Carolina.
That's kind of like saying senior discount, and I refrain from that as well.
I'll put it this way:
sportscaster.
I've known you a long time, been friends a long time. You ain't changed any since we first met.
Well, you mean I've always been bald and gray hair?
No, I on the other hand look double the age that
no, you don't.
That I was when we first met.
You are an amazing story. See, I love your story because I remember when you started with your talk show in the state of Alabama, taking no phone calls and just talking sports for, I think it was 2 hours, with
correct.
Your co-host who was a former pitcher with the New York Yankees.
Chuck,
I remember that.
Yes. And Ray Melick.
And then you went off on your own and you continued to grind and work hard and look where you are today. I'm proud of you. So you're a great story.
Still talking to you, man. I'm glad it's kind of worked this way. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil Kornblut joining us on the Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Let's talk about Clemson, the Tigers, the Fighting Dabos. Trying to match what they did a year ago, which wasn't bad, but not going to be easy to do with all that they've lost.
I agree. Right, and they just announced today that one of their offensive tackles is transferring, Shaq Anthony, which depletes them a little bit more on the offensive line. They lost their running back, Zach Brooks, to a foot injury. They're not saying it was a broken foot or what. But he's out for the season, and he might have been the starting running back. I have real concerns for Clemson. I know their defense is going to be really good, but I don't know about the offense. If Chad Morris can squeeze 30 points a game out of this offense, then he is a miracle worker. There's no question about it. You got a brand-new quarterback, a guy in 5 years who's never taken four years, going into his fifth year, never taken a significant snap in his career, a new running back. You have a couple of receivers returning, but, I mean, you lose so much production with Sammy Watkins gone and Martavis Bryant gone. Holes on the offensive line. So the offense, I think, is a real question. Defenses look really good. Defense could keep them in games. They may have to win a lot of 20 and 25 point kind of games to get, you know, 8 or 9 wins. I don't see them winning more than 9 games this year.
That is quite the schedule. I mean, and they're, I talked about it the other day. They're going to, when they bring Auburn into the fold, what, in 2 years for their season opener? They'll have that 2-year contract. They will have, it's at least 3, maybe 4 SEC opponents on the schedule.
Well,
Georgia, South Carolina. Excuse me. Yeah, Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina.
I think Georgia comes off after this year.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they had a 2-year deal with Georgia. That comes off. Auburn's coming on. Of course, they got Notre Dame coming on in August. But, I think they played Notre Dame for the first time. I believe it's in, I think it might be 2015. Could be 2016. So they do a nice job with their scheduling. You know, they play South Carolina every year. They tried to play an intersectional SEC game. They got Notre Dame coming on. I think the ACC is getting better. North Carolina's a team to watch. Louisville is already established. They play Louisville this year. They play North Carolina this year. They got to go to Florida State. That's why they open up at Georgia. I don't think they'll win that game. 2 weeks later, they go to Florida State. They're not going to win that game. They still have to play Louisville, North Carolina at home. Got South Carolina to end the season. So I see possibly, you know, at least 3 losses out of that group.
Talk about Cole Stout a little bit. Because this is a guy who, as you said, doesn't have a ton of game experience. He is a veteran. He's been there. And for those that may not be aware, he's got some pretty good bloodlines, though. His dad, Cliff, I saw play up close and personal in Birmingham with the Stallions in the old USFL. And before that was the guy who had the unenviable task of trying to follow Terry Bradshaw as the starting quarterback for the Steelers and did pretty well. But still, Bradshaw had set the bar so high with, I guess, 3 straight Super Bowls. Talk about that young man and what they like about him coming into this season.
That's amazing how son follows father. You mentioned that Cliff Stout had to follow Bradshaw. Well, I mean, Cole Stout's only got to follow the most successful quarterback in Clemson history in terms of production in Taj Boyd. And, I mean, he's a big kid. He had numbers last year, but it was all in a mop-up situation. I mean, he was his percentage, completion percentage was in the 70s. But again, this is a guy that's never been tested in extreme situations. And so the first time will be Georgia, and see how he does under the pressure of a Georgia defense and having the offense on his shoulder. In mind, they have a freshman quarterback that they are very excited about in Deshaun Watson, who is going to play. My gut tells me, I mean, I'm just going by my gut, but, I mean, I think that, you know, Cole Stout's going to get the chance early, but if he struggles early against Georgia, you're going to see Deshaun Watson. You might see the last of Cole Stout. And I think they're just anxious to pull the trigger on this freshman kid, knowing the kind of year that they may have and the kind of little bit of rebuilding. They might as well go ahead and get him out there, get as much experience as possible, and look towards 15 and 16 as being really big years. So if Stout's not good early, I think you see Watson, and you might say bye-bye to Stout.
Phil, one last question, if you've got a second, before I let you run. We talk about Steve Spurrier and the legacy he's going to leave as one of the great coaches in the history of certainly of the SEC and likely in all of college football. One area you can really point to specifically to me at South Carolina is the shape he's going to probably leave that program, whether it's in, you know, 6 or 8 months or whether it's another 4 years, who knows. But one thing you can point to, he's finally got their assistant coaches in a competitive situation salary-wise. Did I say it correct? They've gone from 9th to 5th now for the assistants.
Yeah. They, Ray Tanner and before him, Eric Hyman. I mean, they knew what they had to do to compete in the SEC, and he's kept the coaching staff together now going on basically 3 years, I think. And, you know, Lorenzo Ward, he's making, you know, nearly $1 million a year as a coordinator, not quite. But he still has some bargains on that staff, too. I mean, they're not paying Clemson money for the staff. and Clemson's assistant coaches are the highest paid in college football across the board as a staff. So they're not quite in that neighborhood, but they have increased it, and he's kept the staff together. And Lorenzo Ward, who is he's an old Alabama guy.
Absolutely, whammy.
Yes, sir, man, I'm telling you. He's a terrific defensive coordinator, fantastic recruiter. Players love him. I think he'll be a head coach somewhere one day if he wants to be, which I'm sure he does. Right situation, right time. I think he'll be a head coach somewhere. He's done a heck of a job with that defense.
Any chance he's next there in Columbia?
Well, you know, when time comes, like any good athletic director, Ray Tanner's got his list. The question is, does he prefer to stay in-house and try to keep it going internally, or does he need to go outside and bring in another name type of coach and start over? I think there'll be strong feelings both ways. He's got several potential head coaches on that staff. Whammy, G.A. Mangus, the quarterback's coach, who has been a head coach before at Division III level. Sean Elliott, offensive line coach, running game coordinator, very highly regarded. Those guys come to mind at the top of my list internally as potential replacements for Spurrier if they look inside.